There are all kinds of fears that we have to deal with daily. There are those who are afraid of spiders, arachnophobia. And I know one of my grandchildren, at least when she sees the spider, she screams. There are others who are afraid of the dark. Others are afraid of too many people, agoraphobia. And there are all kinds of fears people have. But when it comes to the concept of the fear of the Lord, it has been misinterpreted and very often ignored by many and even rejected as fear-mongering. Churches in general prefer to teach and preach about God's love, grace, mercy, and avoid the subjects that may make people uncomfortable. And there's nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, it's absolutely good to talk about the grace of God, the love of God, the patience of God, the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. All these things should be talked about and preached and taught. And yet there are other things too that we must not ignore in the Bible. Churches in general prefer to teach and preach God's love. That's true. Subjects like sin, holiness, faithfulness, the fear of God are avoided. Sin, holiness, faithfulness, the fear of God. Because these things have something to do with us. So, why should I fear God? Why should there be any fear at all? The Bible very clearly speaks of God's righteousness and His righteous indignation, holiness, anger, and justice. Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Corinth, "Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body, spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now, the Bible is absolutely the breath of God. I believe the Bible is the only source we have that we can trust. The Bible is the only book that says it as it is. There are good examples and bad examples in the Bible. And the Bible talks about the love of God. The Bible says God is love. And yet also says that God is holy. In Psalm 89, verse 7, we read, "God is greatly feared in the assembly of the saints." Oh, someone may say, well, that was in the Old Testament because there was the law and because, you know, they would be punished, they would be stoned to death and all kinds of things. It says God was greatly feared in the assembly of believers. And again, unless we understand what the fear of God is, we won't know what this verse means. Now, the word fear in Hebrew is yirah, and it means fear, terror, or terrified. When it speaks of the fear of God, it often means reverence, piety, and respect. The Greek word for fear is phobos or phobo. And it describes fear, terror, dread. For example, in 2 Corinthians 7, 1, the verse ends with the words in Greek, me phobo theou, in the fear of God. But what does it mean to fear the Lord? Does it mean to be scared, afraid of God, an unforgiving, terrorizing, spiteful God? Doesn't the Bible say that God is love? In 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 17, we read, "And so we know and rely on the love of God. has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. The fear of the Lord is not associated at all with terror or evil. In the contrary, in Proverbs 1:7 we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Also Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor." The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom. I have my sister's grandson. My sister is sitting at the back, and Tasso sometimes with his father comes to visit me. And you put him on something and he has no fear. He wants to jump down because doesn't know what falling down and breaking a hand or hurting himself means yet. But when he learns that, believe it or not, he'll be afraid of falling down. It's like a child that doesn't know what fire is or a hot stove is all about and puts the hand on the stove or on the burner and is burned, then that child knows exactly what hot is and will not do it again. But Christians don't learn. Believers touch that hot stuff, get burned, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. And God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be wise, know what God wants from you. The fear of the Lord is a loving reverence for God that includes submission to His Lordship and to the commands of His Word. The loving reverence for God is what makes a person please God. I'm not afraid of my wife that she's going to punch me or kill me, but I'm afraid that I'm going to hurt her feelings. And many, many times I have to restrain myself from saying something or doing something because I don't want to hurt her feelings. The same goes for my children. There are times that I will not say something, not because I'm afraid that they will punish me, but because I love them so much. So our fear toward God should be that kind of a fear. Not that He is going to just kill us. Of course, one day we'll all stand before His throne. The fear of the Lord implies that a person believes in God and has started knowing Him better. I believe this is probably the problem. That so many Christians who claim to be born again believers have not been growing and getting to know God better. Because if they know God better, because if they know that God is a holy God, and because if they know that God expects better from them, they will do their best not to sin against God. But because today the pulpits and the Christian world has been changed so much, that people have become so indifferent about sin, they think everything goes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Without fear of God, we cannot please God. And people may disagree. There are those who preach from the pulpit, and I hear that every time you turn on the television and you listen to a sermon, all they're talking about is how God can make you prosper. The prosperity message is the message that brings a lot of people. And this morning I turned on the television and my wife was going by just listening to someone preaching in the States. And she says, where do they come, all these people? I don't know. 5,000, 10,000. And I listened to the message very carefully. There were a lot of promises about prosperity. King Solomon said, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Proverbs 19:23. He also said, humility and the fear of the Lord brings wealth and honor and life. Yes, without the fear of the Lord, we cannot please God. King David said, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children. Now, you may think that I'm quoting too many verses, and that's absolutely true. I'm quoting too many verses, or many verses, because I want to support what I'm saying, or base what I'm saying on the Word of God, and not my own doctrine or some kind of philosophy that I have. I know that God loves me. I know that Jesus died on the cross. I know that He is a forgiving God. And I know that He knows my problems and my shortcomings. And I know that He loves me so much that He is willing to forgive my sins. But also, I also know that He is a holy God, and that He expects from me to learn from what I've done. He expects me to learn from my mistakes and then follow Him. When Peter said, I love you, I love you, I love you, as many people say, I love you, Lord, and they put up their hands and they roll on the floor and they do all kinds of things, and Jesus says, if you love me, follow me. Follow me. Not the preacher, not Pastor Joseph, not the philosopher. Follow me. And if you follow me, don't worry. Everything is going to be fine. What they forget to say, many, is the follow me part and say, don't worry about it. Everything is going to be fine. Don't worry. Everything is going to be fine. It's because we are following Christ. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 11, we read, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. How many sermons have you heard lately from a pastor or a teacher to say, come, I will teach you the fear of the Lord? Because the moment you start talking about the fear of the Lord, you are saying that there are things that God does not like, that God does not want, God will reject, and God sees you, when God sees you doing them, He is not happy at all. You say, well, God is a loving God. Yes, He is. After God had given the Ten Commandments through Moses to the people of Israel, we read in Exodus 20, verse 8, they trembled with fear. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. It's an interesting verse. Look what it says. Do not be afraid. Start saying, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Now, what's wrong with that? He says, don't be scared, don't be afraid. God is with you and He'll teach you to do what? It says, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. King Solomon, after examining and searching life and God's will, he declared, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every deed into judgment, whether it is good or evil." Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. The warning is repeated in Hebrews now, chapter 10, verses 26, 27. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Many Christians and churches today have lost the concept of fearing the Lord. And slogans like, "God is love, why should I fear Him, let alone tremble?" Or, "I'm sure nothing can separate me from His love." Or, "He is a forgiving God, He knows I am only human," have paralyzed the church, and many have lost their faith and walked away from God. You say, "Oh, you are one of those who believe this and you believe that, and my doctrine says that, and that doctrine says that, and the doctrine says this, and the professor says that. I don't really, really care what anyone says, but I care what the Bible says. The Bible says what it says, and will never change." Many Christians have just walked away from the truth, and they have started their own understanding or of philosophy, if you wish. Many Christians have been indulging in sinful life with impunity, with no fear of the consequences of disobeying God and His laws. We are not told to be afraid of God, for sure, but rather to honor Him, to respect Him and His word, to love Him with all our heart and mind and body. This is what to fear God is. Let's hear what God says in Deuteronomy 5:29. "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever." Now, either God has changed, or the Old Testament is discontinued, and all the quotes from the Old Testament in the New Testament are wrong, or this is what God is, a holy God that never changes. The believers of the early church knew what the fear of God meant. In Acts 9 and verse 31 we read, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord." I will read that once again. "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord." Okay, so today we don't talk about the fear of the Lord. We don't want to scare people from coming to church. We don't want to scare the young people. We don't want to scare the teenagers. So we drop the fear of God. And the churches are growing, people think. No, the churches are not doing well at all. Even if there are 20,000 people watching the pastor demonstrate his philosophy, That does not mean that the body of Christ is doing well, because so many have dropped that concept, the concept of a holy God. From the beginning to the end, the Bible speaks of God's holiness and justice and the need of His followers to obey Him and fear Him. In Revelation 15, we read, "Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name?" This is in the New Testament, the last book. "And bring glory to your name, for you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." The question was, who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. You may ask, why should I fear God? He loves me, He saved me, and He will keep me safe and secure for the rest of my life. Well, let me remind you what the Bible says. Hebrews 4, 1, 11. "Let us therefore fear, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should come short of it. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience." We should not be afraid. We should not be scared while we are walking with the Lord. The hymn that says, "And He walked with me and talked with me," means a lot to me. Because when I'm walking with the Lord and talking with the Lord, I am safe and secure forever. But when I walk away from the Lord and walk the other way and reject Him, and He's the judge, obviously. I'm not here to talk about doctrinal differences. I'm not here to misrepresent the Bible. I'm not here to say that don't worry, because the Bible, Apostle Paul said, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I kept the faith." The book of Revelation says the same. Hebrews says the same. In closing, let me remind you that those who follow and focus on Jesus and have the proper fear of the Lord have the promises of God and the assurance of their salvation. No fear when you are walking with God. And so, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the Bible. We thank You for Your breath in the Bible. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for forgiving us. And thank You for forgiving our sins and giving us eternal life. And we thank You also for the assurance of our salvation. For we know, Lord, that our sins have been forgiven and thrown in the deepest sea. You'll never look to our past. But also we know that You want us to follow You, Lord Jesus, and You want us to be holy as You are. Help each one of us this morning. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us, strengthen us, mend our lives, and prepare us to continue our journey on this earth. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.